All moms, grandmoms, dads, granddads with daughters, this is a show you've been waiting for.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if you are a mom listening, you want to text a friend, you want to call a friend, email a friend, tweet a friend, tell them to tune in to The Line of Fire now. If you're a dad, if you have a daughter, granddad with a daughter, by all means, you want to listen, tell your friends to tune in. We're going to have a great discussion today with a friend of many years, Gina Gladstone. She has an amazing new children's book out, Daughter of the King. We have been waiting for this to be released for a long time. I went through the book. It's an amazing read, and I think it's going to minister life to lots of young girls around the world that read it. So welcome to the broadcast. If you have a question for Gina, we may take some questions later in the show, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But I got to know Gina as her husband Bob was the very first one that God called to join our faculty at Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. So we met, I guess, in late 96 and have been working together in different ways since 1997. When we first met the Gladstones, they had two little girls. And since then, the oldest girl is now a mom and with five amazing kids. And in the midst of all this homeschooling kids and working with her husband in ministry, Gina's written this book, Daughter of the King. We also want to talk about finding your identity in Jesus. We want to talk about pressures that the kids are under and an amazing prison initiative that you can get to be part of. So, Gina, at long last, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm excited to be here.
Good, good. So Gina, your own background, you grew up in the Lord, your mom and dad serving the Lord, your dad a pastor and Bible school teacher, you've got sister that's a missionary. Mm-hmm. What's it been like serving the Lord, being busy in ministry, and homeschooling five kids?
Well, it's never a dull moment. I've been homeschooling my kids since my daughter, Jana, who is now 27, was about 3 or 4, and still going at it. My youngest is 16. And so there were times where it was, you know, crazy, I'm sure, as every homeschooling mom has experienced, and a lot of tender moments as well. So it's been the whole gamut.
Yeah, and I've gotten to see your kids grow up. Have had two of them in our ministry schools, became Fire School of Ministry, and just amazed to see the quality of their lives, their devotion to the Lord. So none of them went to secular school at any point through elementary school, middle school, high school. They were homeschooled by mom, correct?
Yep, the whole time.
All right. And what would you say that you learned as a mom pouring into your kids, so four girls and one boy, what did you learn as a mom homeschooling your kids?
Well, I guess probably the biggest thing I learned is endurance, and that this is not a short-term project. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a long-term discipleship program.
Mm. And did you ever get pushback from your kids?
As far as like not wanting to do things, or what do you mean?
Yeah, just, you know, they won't be homeschooled, and this is old, and is it always easy?
Oh, no, it wasn't always easy, especially with having different levels of kids, like, wow, you know, different ages.
Yeah.
And that was one of the toughest parts, is that one kid was supposed to be doing, you know, some intense thing, and another kid is like, you know, a toddler. So that part made it difficult. But no one ever really wanted to go to a different school or do something else, except for my son did for a little while. He wanted to play rugby or football or something, but he kind of got over that after a couple months and everything was fine again.
Yeah.
And, that's just the mercy of God, I guess.
Yeah, really. But again, friends, I've watched the family over the years, and these are kids, fun-loving kids, full of life, but devoted to the Lord and really by the great example of their mom and dad. So I say that first just so you know. This is not just theory. Gina had an idea of something that might be good for kids. She's raised four daughters. They are godly young ladies, and one a mother herself, and a godly young man. Gina's had experience, and this book, Daughter of the King, it's a delight to read. Me as an adult, as a 64-year-old grandfather, it's a delight to read. I can't imagine the impact that it's going to have on younger girls. So Gina, where did you get this idea from? How did it originate in your heart that you thought, man, I need to write this book?
Well, actually, I was talking to a friend of mine who said she would love to see a book that was like a Disney Christian princess version of the Disney princess idea and focused on identity. And so I started thinking about that, and I thought, yeah, that's really something that's needed. So, you know, the girls these days have such an attack on their minds from the world, from the culture, from just the lies of the enemy that they're just being barraged from every angle. And to know the truth is so foundational and important for girls in that age group when they're, you know, the formative age group. They need to know who they are, and they need to know who they are based on the Word of God and not based on what the world says or just the culture around them, or, you know, like the lies of the enemy specifically.
So as you're looking at girls today, let's talk about some of the pressures that they're under. There's obviously peer pressure, which is very intense on social media. I mean, you have kids committing suicide because they get bullied on social media or intimidated. You have the pressure of the world. They have to look a certain way and dress a certain way. And do you feel, Gina, that just in general church life, that young girls and women are getting the positive reinforcement they need? Do you think that many are still lacking in a sense of knowing who they are in the Lord? Just from, because you're involved in ministry with your husband these many years, you've dealt with many girls of all age. Do you think there's an identity crisis for young ladies in church today?
Absolutely. And I don't think that it's great to have a Christian foundation. I have, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. My parents are like, you know, ideal parents, and I was always in a loving family. I always knew the Lord, but even as a child, like, these thoughts just came out of nowhere, like, oh, you're not as good as your sister, or they don't love you as much as they love her, or you're adopted, and, you know, just crazy things that the enemy put in my mind, and I have no idea why or how they got there. And so I think that even with the very best foundation, kids that are hearing the Word of God, hearing the truth, that are in homeschool or, you know, Christian families, churches, even then there is the opportunity for the enemy to come in and start, you know, just planting these little lies in their minds. And if the lies aren't talked about or discussed, they can become bigger and bigger, and they can become chains that, you know, keep people in bondage and in fear. And so I think, yeah, it's something really, the book, I feel like, is a tool that can be used to start a conversation so that parents and children or caregivers or Sunday school teachers or whoever they may be can talk with kids about some of the thoughts that have gone through their minds, because sometimes kids are too ashamed to tell anyone what they're thinking, or, you know, if they're having like, oh, maybe I'm not this, or I'm not that, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not whatever, I'm not rich enough. And, you know, there's so many different lies that the enemy tries to bring. And if they don't have someone there to talk to them about those things, sometimes it just snowballs into a bigger and bigger fear or shame or bondage, really, that can keep them from entering into their purpose and certainly from knowing their identity in Christ.
Mm. And those that often grow up with the wrong identity and have these various complexes, Gina, they end up acting out in wrong ways. It's not just a matter of missing out on some of their divine destiny, but often it can go the very wrong way. What are some ways that a young lady might end up acting out or trying to compensate things that she might do because she doesn't know that she's a daughter of the King?
Well, we were in a meeting on Sunday, and two of the people in the meeting were talking about their nieces who weren't in the meeting. They're not involved with our church, but they're nieces of people in this meeting, and they're in different situations, different families, different states. They don't know each other, but the two nieces had the same issues. They were both cutting themselves and listening to music that was, you know, full of like death and being like preoccupied with the death issue. And one was 12 and one was 16. So very different situations. One was in a Christian home, their parents were involved in a church, and yet they had all these issues around their identity and the fear of death, the fear of demons, not feeling accepted for who they were. And so this is something that's very prevalent, not just in the world, but in the church. So if you know, kids in the church are having these struggles, how much more the kids that are at risk that don't even have a family, how much more are they going to have to struggle with who am I and what am I even here for and just a purposeless idea and the fear that goes along with that.
Yeah, and it can be very tormenting. Mm-hmm. We often don't know the struggles that people go through. And as Gina was just saying a moment ago, when you get this book, Daughter of the King, it's going to open up discussions that might not have come up otherwise. So we're gonna take you through the contents of the book. There's an amazing story behind the beautiful illustrations. So here's how you get it. Right now, go to Amazon, easiest way to order. It's a beautiful hardcover, 32-page, beautifully illustrated hardcover. Get a bunch of copies. Give them out as holiday gifts. And Gina, especially you're targeting girls, say, ages 6 to 12. Is that right?
Yes, but I've had like even adults say that it ministered to them. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe it will. We'll take you through the contents without giving you full spoilers on it. So go to Amazon. It's Daughter of the King. Just out. It already has eight. Just another one came in while we're sitting here, Gina. Eight 5-star reviews. And trust me, I'm giving it my wholehearted endorsement. It's just Gina didn't ask for my endorsement because who needs my endorsement on a girl's book, children's book. But I'm giving it my strong endorsement. Daughter of the King, Gina Gladstone. Get a copy on Amazon right now. Get a few copies. And it's J-E-A-N-A. We'll be right back. Talk to you more about this. Tell you about the journey that this girl goes on. Daughter of the King by Gina Gladstone. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's what Andrew says on Amazon. My 7-year-old daughter fell in love with this book. The story and illustrations are deep while still being age appropriate. I love that it is designed for a wider age range, not just little girls or teens. The story is perfect for teaching girls about their true identity in God, something that is much needed today. Here's another one, no name. Tears, tears, tears. This story is incredibly precious. I'm talking about a brand new, literally, hot off the press children's book by my friend Gina Gladstone. I've worked closely with her husband Bob now for the last 22 years. Her brand new book, Daughter of the King. You can order it at Amazon. It's going to be a great Christmas present, holiday present, and something that you should get a bunch of copies of if you can. All right, Gina, take us on a journey. Let's go through Daughter of the King. Tell me the story.
Well, it starts out with the girl, Jewel, who is the main character, and she's already...
She doesn't know she's a Jewel, does she?
No, she doesn't. She hasn't read Malachi 3:17, but...
But she really is a Jewel. I mean, so right there, her name is telling
right.
you something.
Yes.
Okay.
So she doesn't know who she is, and she has all these things that the king has provided for her. Food and beautiful clothing and a castle and just a kingdom that's waiting for her to rule. But yet she's living in the slums. And she just, you know, at the beginning, you're not knowing, like, why is she doing that? Why wouldn't she live in her her beautiful castle, why wouldn't she wear the beautiful clothes? But the reason is because she has been lied to, and she believes that she's not good enough to live there. She believes that she's too small and too ugly, or too, you know, just not enough to be.
But she's a pretty little girl.
Yes.
In reality, she is.
And she is the daughter of the king, but she just somehow doesn't believe that, so she's led by herself into this alley, and she's got chains, and, you know, she's just sad, and she's just crying and miserable and cold and hungry. So that's the condition that she's in the beginning of the book. So it's a parable story, you know, kind of like the prodigal son who leaves his home and goes and lives in the, you know, and finds himself in the slums feeding the pigs. So it's kind of that same idea with the father at home.
But she doesn't know. She doesn't know that she doesn't know her history.
Right, right, right.
And you know, as you were talking, I was reminded of something that I'll see sometimes this headline, you know, just looking at different news feeds. And it'll talk about some model, like some world fame model, and, you know, the most beautiful woman on the planet. And it's like, you know, she has a terrible self-image. She fights depression. Mm-hmm. She feels lonely. You think anyone can be lied to.
Right.
It doesn't, because we always think, well, if I just have this, if I look like this, if I could be this, then that would satisfy things. But if it doesn't come from the inside, an assurance between you and God, it's really not going to be there. So Jewel, this beautiful little girl who's actually a king's kid, is living in complete poverty, squalor, filth, dirt. And that's how we meet Jewel.
Right. And then, you know, in the story, as the story goes, a dove comes and says, "Why are you here?" And, you know, kind of reminds her of her history and what she has waiting for her at home, and encourages her to go home and you know, speaks truth to her and tells her that she is the daughter of the king. So that's kind of, you know, I don't want to give away the whole story, that's kind of the gist of it.
But either way, even when you tell it, it's a whole bit different to actually read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, there are amazing illustrations in this book by Angela. We can't give her last name for a number of reasons. But I knew she did this kind of work, but I was still stunned by the quality of it. So you told the story, and then she came back and illustrated it.
Yeah, we sat down together one day at my house, and I gave her the script of, you know, the pages, and she read it, and it really touched her. And we talked a little bit about Jewel and kind of what I wanted her to look like a little bit, and from there, she just kind of took it and did it. And we went back and forth a little bit with emailing, like, you know, some ideas, but she just did it. And I didn't give her a lot to go on. And she just somehow caught the vision of the story. And I just think the illustrations are very powerful and, you know, really just a gift that makes the whole story work.
Yeah, and there's an interesting backstory to how she started doing illustrations. She was serving as a missionary in Asia. She was ministering to people in a leper colony. She met an old woman leper, and the woman was illiterate, so even if you could give her something in her native language to read, she couldn't read it. And Angela did not have the ability to communicate everything she wanted to outside of, even language barriers and things like that. So she drew the gospel for this woman. She took the time. That's how she, think of this, serving in a leper colony in Asia with someone that can't even read or write, and your language abilities, because of their background and all that, are very limited communicating with them. So she learned to do illustrations this way. So it's really something that was forged by the Spirit in gospel work, ministering to someone that's the only way you're going to get the gospel message. Think of taking the time to do that and to, all right, I tell you, okay, go ahead. Let's say you have artistic gifts. Go ahead and preach the gospel. How do you describe sin? How do you convey the cross? How do you do this? You need grace and anointing to do it. So, Gina, I really feel like that same grace was on the illustrations in this book.
Absolutely. I do, too. I mean, it's just when you look at it, you can just, like, feel the love of God, I feel.
Yeah, in a dramatic way. Casey, one of the 5-star reviewers on Amazon, said, "My girls love this. It's a sweet book with an allegorical storyline and wonderful animation-style illustrations and a deep underlying message." Goes on, and I'm looking at another review that says, "Encouragement for the whole family. I'm always looking for books that help reinforce what I'm trying to teach my children about the Lord. This book isn't just for girls. It will encourage the whole family. We all need a reminder sometimes of whose we are and how he feels about us always, no matter what." I want to come back to that in a moment, Gina. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk to ladies in particular that are listening, but to all believers about finding identity. But folks that are grads from our ministry school that we've had the privilege of sending out over the years, a number of them work in rescuing people from sex trafficking, from human trafficking, and the stories are horror stories. I mean, even little children sold mm-hmm. into it. There's a message in this book for them, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, and that is one of the things. It's a twofold goal, really. It's for anyone. You know, as we said before, even children who grew up in church can struggle with thoughts of who are they and, you know, their identity. But it's also really for to be used as a tool for girls who are at risk or maybe even need healing and restoration. So I want it to be used as a tool for them as well. The lady who did the illustrations, Angela, has used this book in parts of Asia where girls were being rehabilitated and restored from trafficking. And she read them the story and she showed them the pictures. And one of the girls looked at the picture of the when she has the chains and she's like, "That's my story."
Mm.
She really identified with it. And then the following year, after that girl had become a Christian and had gotten baptized and really had been restored to her identity in Christ, then the following year, when they had a new group of girls come in, she became the translator for the story, and they read it again, and the girls were just really moved by it. So, yes, that's one of the goals, is to be able to use it in those types of settings where girls have either never heard of who they are in Christ, or maybe they've forgotten, or they're just in, you know, needing deep healing and restoration. And it comes with a study guide as well that you can go through some scripture verses and really some questions and just kind of taking it further. So they can read the story and then they can take it further and really dive into the subject with either themselves or with someone that's kind of helping them, taking them through it.
And friends, if you want to find out more and some of the other initiatives, go to GinaGladstone.com. That's Gina, J-E-A-N-A, as Bob told me the very first time I misspelled her name in an email to him over 20 years ago. All right, Gina, we just got a minute, but there's something you're involved in with prisons. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have the opportunity to do that's called All is Bright. And it's an initiative that reunites families together at Christmas time, taking they create a whole scene like a winter wonderland, and they take the inmates and the children of the inmates together and reunite them.
Mm.
Are we going to run out of time?
No,
this is really good.
Go ahead.
Okay, so they create this whole winter wonderland. And this is for inmates, mothers or fathers, and their children. They can experience reconciliation. Some of these kids, they haven't seen their parents before, or maybe it's been a really long time before. So the team intentionally tries to think of creative ways to allow the mom and dad to begin this forgiveness and relationship building process without it being like scary or intimidating for the child.
Mm.
So they create this fun activity right inside the prison.
Wow.
And they have live entertainment, they have Christmas dinner, family photos, and presents. So this is where we come in.
I will finish.
We'll finish
we'll
it.
We'll finish up.
Okay.
I wanted you to find out. If you go to GinaGladstone.com, is there info there?
A little bit.
Okay. We'll talk
details,
more about this.
Okay.
But just something else we want to drop into your hearts as we come into this holiday season. We'll be right back and talk about your identity. in Jesus.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I remember some years back, a couple of decades ago, that people began talking about, hey, we're King's kids. And there was kind of an abusive way it was being taught, you know, that you should have the best car or live in the biggest house because you're a King's kid. And it missed the real point of what it meant to be a son or daughter of the King, adopted into his family, in which case, sure, he blesses us with earthly things, but that's nothing compared to who we are in him and his love for us. I'm sitting here with old friend, colleague Gina Gladstone, worked with her husband Bob for the last 22 years as one of our key faculty members and fellow leaders here at Fire School of Ministry. Bob leads a network of house churches, the King's people, and Gina ministering with him side by side in many different ways. And she's written an amazing children's book. It's hot off the press, and we want you to get copies to give out as Christmas gifts, especially for girls aged 6 to 12. All right? Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Get the hardcover. It's really beautiful. Go to Amazon.com, Daughter of the King. In fact, here's a picture we just took before the show, those that are watching on YouTube or Facebook. And it is Gina and me holding the book up. Do we have that to put up? If not, we'll do that a little later. So, Gina, you're involved in a prison initiative where at Christmas time, families are brought together. Maybe they've been separated for years. Maybe the child was born and separated from, doesn't know the mom, doesn't mm-hmm. know the dad. And within the jail, there's an initiative where it's a beautiful setting. It's very different than a typical jail setting, kind of like a winter wonderland. And families come together for reconciliation. And you're involved with it on some level. So tell us about it and what folks can do to join in.
Yes, it's an awesome opportunity that we have to get this book actually into the hands of the children of these inmates. So the team sets up this whole winter wonderland for them with activities and entertainment, Christmas dinner, family photos, and presents. And so what they get to do is they take donations of new clothing, toys, gifts, all kinds of things like that from partnering churches and organizations. And then they allow the mom or the dad of the inmates to walk around and kind of shop in a mock store environment for their child. And then the volunteers wrap the presents and they address it to each child from the parent. And this opens up the gateway for the mom and the dad to be the hero in the child's life again. And it just so happens that my mother-in-law works in God Behind Bars. And so I said, can we get this book into the hands of those kids?
Oh, come on.
And she said, absolutely. And I said, how many can we do? And she said, well, let's just start out with one prison because, you know, this is a nationwide program.
Right, right.
So I said, all right, I'm gonna commit to doing 50 just myself, and then we'll see where it goes from there. So that's our initiative now. I'm just going to give her these. I'm going to give her the paperback edition because it's a little bit cheaper to produce.
Yep.
So we're just going to take, anyone who wants to get involved in this, we are going to send as many books as we can into these prisons for the parents, the inmates, to give to their children. And just think of the opportunity that they're giving them, not only just giving them a gift, but a gift that can actually feed into their identity and who they are and just start to open up the door for the gospel to them.
Yeah, really. So they can do that at GinaGladstone.com?
Yes, there's a special place on there where it says, give gifts to kids.
All right. So Gina, that's Jeana, GinaGladstone.com. And the book that we're talking about, you can order on Amazon, Daughter of the King, beautifully illustrated. Really, the illustrations are anointed. You know, Gina, as we're talking, I'm reminded of something. Obviously, I've spent my whole adult life teaching, training at Bible college, seminary level, preaching, teaching adults around the world, training leaders, writing books to impact. But, you know, the books that everybody remembers are the books you read when you were little kids, you know, and the ones that you can still recite by heart. Mm-hmm. Or kids get impacted. And the great majority of people that come to faith probably before they're 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So Gina, as a little girl's reading this book, or say a 12-year-old, or maybe even a 15-year-old girl that's cutting herself, mm-hmm. she doesn't understand who she is. She doesn't understand the Father's love. Her sense of self-esteem is really battered. And it seems to be especially hard for this generation going up. A lot of fatherless homes, broken homes, so they're not getting the father's esteem. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've been an amazing homeschool mom, but Bob is a godly husband, godly father, being there for your four daughters and your one son, setting those godly examples. When you have broken homes, when you don't have the godly mother or father, you have the bombardment of the world. And even in godly homes, kids just get hit with everything. Their self-esteem, their knowledge of who they are is terribly damaged. So I want you to speak, Gina, especially to moms, to young ladies, to girls that are listening. Talk to them about finding identity in Jesus and what it means, how you do it. Just open this up for us.
Okay. I'm going to read part of the study guide that comes with the book, if you go and download it. And it just has you read Genesis 1:27, and then it asks this question, in whose image are we created? And then the answer is, because God created us in his image, we are his children. We bear his image like an imprint. An imprint is a mark left by something that's been pressed into or stamped onto it, like when the bottom of your shoe leaves a mark in the mud. So we are all beautiful to him, and he takes delight in us. Whether you feel like it or not, God loves you, and he thinks of you as his treasure. And he has an amazing, wonderful plan for your life. What you believe about yourself will affect what you do, the decisions you make, the friends you choose, and how you relate to God. In the story, when Jewel believed that she didn't deserve to live in the palace with her father, that belief caused her to leave the love and safety of her home and live in the street. But if we believe that our Father God loves us and wants to have a relationship with him, then we will want to give our lives to him and be with him. He can live inside us right now, and one day we can live with him in his kingdom in heaven, which is better than any castle on earth. So that's just a little excerpt from the identity study guide that I provided with the book for people who want to go deeper into this issue. But the identity issue is really a foundational issue. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve that she wasn't enough the way she was. He said, you know, you need more. You need to be like God. And all this stuff that God's given you isn't enough. And made her question that. But God has created mankind in his image. And he said that creation was very good. Sin messed all that up. But now through the blood of Jesus, we can be restored and made righteous again. So this identity issue is huge. And once we have a firm grasp on that truth of our Father's love and our value to him, then we can build on that. And we can enter into that purpose and destiny that he has for us. But as long as we're held captive by the lies that we believe, those lies will keep us from doing the things that we're put here to do. And we're so preoccupied with ourselves, if we're not good enough or whether people accept us. But when we know the love of God and how much he values us, then we are set free from all that. And we can actually serve the Lord and others with joy. Which is kind of ironic that once we're comfortable with that truth that God loves us, then we're not as concerned about what other people think. We can actually get out of our own way.
Yeah, you know, it's the old adage about performing for an audience of one, mm-hmm. that if you have your lifelong piano teacher that's mentored you through the years and you're putting on a big performance, you only care about one thing: what's my piano teacher think? And if you get that smile, mm-hmm. for your piano teacher, you know that's it. So when you know that you have the smile of the Father, it's something that's been very real to me for decades in my life, but I have understood over the years that it's not that real to many others. They feel condemned. Mm-hmm. I'm not working hard enough. I'm not doing enough. And Gina, as a homeschooling mom in ministry with your husband, you're doing a tremendous amount, but you must have been hit with thoughts like, I'm not doing enough, I'm not praying enough, I'm not as good as this one or that one. I mean, did that kind of stuff hit you too?
Probably more when I was younger and just kind of trying to figure out all the this ministry thing and what you're supposed to be doing as a minister, you know, of the gospel, as a preacher's wife or a homeschooling mom or whatever. But I guess as just growing up and just really leaning into God and who He is and who I'm created to be in Him, then it really does free you from all of the expectations of other people. Because like you said, it's the audience of one. It's like I'm living my life before Him. And if He's pleased with me, then that's really all that matters. And, you know, some people are going to like it, some people aren't, but I have no control over that. And I can't let those people who don't like me or who don't think well of me, I can't let them stop me from doing the purpose of God in my what God has given me to do. I have to do what God's given me to do, regardless of fear, regardless of, you know, how I feel about myself that day. I have to step into my purpose just because of who God has made me to be. And that's really freeing when you get that kind of a revelation.
Yeah, it's amazingly freeing. And the thing that's so crazy is that you want people's approval, but those same mm-hmm. people want your approval.
Yeah.
You think it's just people. The mm-hmm. the one that matters is our Father. And here I'm just going to read the beginning of Daughter of the King by Gina Gladstone. Once upon a time, there lived a beautiful princess named Jewel. She had a lovely castle given to her by the king, but she didn't live in it. Of course, beautifully illustrated. Instead, she wandered around in the streets, sleeping in alleys. She had beautiful clothes made of the finest of fabrics, but she didn't wear them. As you sent me the book, Gina, before it came out, and I went through it, and of course with the illustrations, I thought to myself, you know, this is going to minister not just to children, but because it's written for children, it's going to minister to adults. It's written for mm-hmm. children, but it's going to open the eyes of adults. It's just like the parables of Jesus. Scholars study them, but children can understand them. So this message, Daughter of the King, you may be a mom reading it to your daughter at night and think, wow, God's really speaking to me through the book. All right, one more segment. We'll be right back with Gina Gladstone. Again, you get the book on Amazon.com. Daughter of the King. Get a bunch of copies. Give them out as special holiday gifts.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, a couple of special announcements before I get back to my special guest, Gina Gladstone, author of the brand new book, Daughter of the King. All right, in less than a half hour, what, like 27 minutes from now, we'll be right back on YouTube. So if you're not watching on YouTube right now, that's the Ask Dr. Brown channel. Just type in Ask Dr. Brown or Dr. Michael Brown. It'll get you there. We're going to be doing our weekly live YouTube chat. So this is where you can post any kind of question you have or challenge me on something or raise any issue you want without calling in, just posting it. And I'm normally able to get to a lot of questions. We'll do it 45 minutes or an hour, but that'll start 4:15 p.m. Eastern Standard, 4:15 p.m. Eastern Standard. So that's less than a half hour from now on YouTube, Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel. Also, we will be live, God willing, on Friday, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. We'll be live. So many of you don't work on that day and you always want to call the show, but you can't from work. So it gives you a great opportunity to call in. We'll be taking your questions. And then we've got special programming for you all of next week. We were recording it this week, some really rich special programming because it's my annual India trip, my 27th time, God willing, going to India. From when I leave my house to when I get there, it's about 40 hours round trip, and then I'm there for about 3 days. So I'll leave on a Monday, come back on a Sunday. So we've got special programming, but we'll be asking you to pray for God's grace on that trip because it's pretty intense, and we really want it to count when we're there. All right. The book, Daughter of the King, by Gina Gladstone. Again, amazing illustrations by Angela, who learned to do this artwork while serving as a missionary in Asia and ministering in a leper colony to an old woman, a leper who was unable to read or write, and there were language barriers between them. Her only way to really communicate the gospel was to draw it for her. And it reminds me of my first trip to India and going out into a tribal region to preach and thinking, what am I going to say? People in a hut here, the culture is totally different. I thought, tell stories. Mm-hmm. Tell stories and illustrate them. I remember I talked about, Gina, now I think of it, being priests to God. Mm-hmm. And I talked about the priests and what they wore and how, but we are priests. So your book, Daughter of the King, it can minister to women as well. Not just to daughters, he ministered to men reading it. I was blessed by it as well. This little girl, Jewel, who's the daughter of the king, but doesn't know it. And when she comes into that revelation, it's extraordinarily life-changing. Gina, I know as a mom and as a woman in ministry that you have a burden for other women to really find and fulfill their calling. Could you just speak to the ladies listening? They don't have to compete with someone else. It's not a matter of what men can do, women can do. It's a matter of unique calling on each life. Just speak to some of the ladies that are listening.
Yeah. The Lord has put in you certain gifts and certain abilities and talents. And just he just sees you as a beautiful, beautiful treasure to him. And he really wants to be able to take all those gifts and all that beauty and use it for his glory and use it for to bring others into the kingdom. And I think that when we get our eyes on ourselves and we're just comparing ourselves, you know, the Bible says that's not wise when we compare ourselves to others. When we do that, we kind of close ourselves in and we don't allow ourselves to be used by God in the way that he has designed us to be used. We're not using our gifts. We're not fulfilling our purpose when we're so preoccupied with ourselves. And so if we can just get rid of that and get our eyes on the Lord and get our eyes on who he says we are and realize that the love of God, the Bible says the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, Paul prays that the churches would know the love of God, which surpasses knowledge. But if we can get a vision, a revelation of how much God loves us, then those gifts and that beauty and those talents and all those things that he's put in us can come out, can be seen by the world and can be used for his glory and for his kingdom. And so I think that if we can just get a vision of how much he loves us and how much he treasures us, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and if your Heavenly Father, who is perfect, mm-hmm. treasures you mm-hmm. and cares about you, that's a whole lot bigger than a husband giving you a compliment or a dad saying something nice about you or mm-hmm. someone that you minister to saying, wow, that really blessed me. That's all beautiful. That's all wonderful. Mm-hmm. But having the Father's esteem, and Gina, you talked before about leaning into God. As a younger mother, you felt more the expectations of the competition, and then you leaned into God. I know, of course, you play piano, you sing, you've written songs. Mm-hmm. Is worship part of how you lean into God, how you get renewed in your identity in the Lord?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I do when I worship is I'll take the Psalms and I'll just sing the Psalms. And you know, play the piano or not, but just going through the scriptures and singing back the words of the scriptures to the Lord in praise, it has a way of just getting into your soul and into your spirit and changing the way that you think, changing your mindset into God's mindset and how he sees the world. And so that becomes more of than how you see the world. And it's a very powerful tool. Worship, just from my own heart or from the scriptures, especially the Psalms, writing out my prayers, really taking scriptures that speak to this specifically and having them on little note cards and memorizing them, going over and over and over the word every day, having certain little scriptures that I look at, that I memorize, that I really just try to like digest, and so that it becomes part of me and part of the way that I think. And then, of course, going to God when I'm struggling with something and asking Him and just letting Him speak to my spirit, letting Him say, I see you, even if that other person didn't, or even if, you know, you didn't receive that compliment or whatever. But having the Lord say, I saw you. I saw that you did that, and that's meaningful to Him. And that's really all that matters in that moment. And that, again, that sets you free to then serve others and to be the person that He created you to be.
Yeah, a jewel in His sight. And, you know, Gina, as you're speaking, what I'm hearing also is there's effort that's involved. Mm-hmm. Just like if someone mm-hmm. is terribly out of shape, to get in shape, to exercise, or to eat healthily, or to do well in any area, there's effort involved. So we make conscious choices. Okay, I have needs. Mm-hmm. My life is not right. Something's wrong. It's just like going to a doctor and the doctor says, take this medicine. There is spiritual medicine
right.
God's given us in the Word. And as we act on these things, it does bring transformation. And again, the proof is in the living. So I see you and Bob with a blessed, great marriage these many years. I've watched your whole family grow up, 5 kids, and as I've gotten to know some of them pretty well, just amazing, godly kids. And you see the deposit that mom and dad made in them mm-hmm. is being lived out in a real way. And now Gina has this book, Daughter of the King. And I really encourage you strongly, get it. Read it yourselves, moms and dads, single individuals. Read it. You'll be blessed. And then as you share it with kids, be sure to shoot a note to Gina at the website, ginagladstone.com is a great place to do it. Or just post a review on Amazon. It's a great way to tell others, hey, this book really blessed me. And let folks know how. Blessed our daughters. Blessed me as maybe your woman reading it blessed you. So you can order it on Amazon.com, Daughter of the King, Gina Gladstone. And I want to take a whole hour. We've known Bob and Gina for over 22 years, and I knew there was much she had to say to ladies, to moms, to women in ministry, I know many of you young ladies listening. Some of you girls, you've been boys, you've been listening since you've been like a year old. You've been listening to the show. So tell your mom and make sure they get you this book, okay? I want every young lady listening, every girl listening, tell your mom and dad, you have to get me this book, okay? Daughter of the King. Say, Dr. Brown said so, all right? So, Gina, the prison initiative we mentioned at the beginning, this is to get paperback copies of this book as a Christmas gift into the families of prisoners. So one of the family members is an inmate. They bring the families together. Mm-hmm. Probably very few of us realize how many families live like that and exist like this with one family member in prison for a period of years. And they'd be blessed with different things. But here we get copies of the book into their hands to give out to the families. So not only will they have a gift to give, which is sweet and beautiful and amazing, but on top of that, a life-changing gift. So, Gina, where they go? GinaGladstone.com. What do they click on?
It says learn more, but there's a little box down. If you just kind of scroll down, it says give gifts to girls. It just has a little blurb about being able to support this ministry of giving gifts to the prisons.
Okay, great. So, again, name is spelled Gina, J-E-A-N-A, Gladstone. .com. And I'm just looking ahead here. And by the way, there's a lot of content in the 32 pages, but just totally designed for children. There's the kid. Oh, look at this. Okay, I don't want to give it away, but it's what a wonderful ending, and your heart will be warmed. So, friends, let us all find out who we are in the Lord. Let us all know the depth of His love for us so that we can fully give ourselves to serve others. And make sure you get a few copies of the book on Amazon, Daughter of the King by Gina Gladstone. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Great to have you on the air.
Thank you.